deep in the heart of the Alaskan wilderness, a lone scientist is brushing loose soil from the snowy banks of the Colville River as he looks for unfossilized dinosaur bones. He is unaware of a stranger approaching him from behind.
Hello!
Who's there?
Just call me Charlie Tuber.
You startled me. I haven't seen another human for the last 2 weeks.
You never know who you run into, Dr. Benson.
How do you know my name?
I know a lot about you. I know that you've been collecting bones of an Edmontosaurus, like this one.
That looks like one of the fossils I sent home.
This is the very same one.
How? I sent it off 2 weeks ago.
I know. I followed you on your trip down to Colfoot. After you left the post office, I stole the package for myself.
Why? That package contained invaluable fossils and my research. What are you going to do with it?
That depends on you, Jerry. See this watch? It has a built-in transmitter. If I push this button right here, it signals my men who have been given instructions to destroy the fossils.
No, no. This is crazy.
I want you to come with me right now. And if you cooperate, you'll see your package again. Now, let's get moving. We have a long journey ahead of us.
Where is Charlie taking Dr. Benson? Will he be okay? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the Wilderness Express. 2 days later, four leaders of the Creation Response Team are meeting in a conference room at the Brennan Museum of Creation in Abiquiú, New Mexico.
I'm not quite understanding what you're saying, Miles.
When you first hired me to train and consult the Creation Response Team, I understood that our purpose was to alert the public to scientific discoveries that show how this universe was designed. Then it's up to them to decide who they believe the Creator to be. But you guys keep shoving this Bible stuff down everyone's throat.
Like when I mentioned God at the press conference at the Johnson Space Center?
Yes, that's a perfect example. Excuse me. Hello? What? Oh, no, you're kidding. All right, hold on for just a minute. I'm going to step outside and take this.
Okay, all right. That's fine.
All right, so tell me, what's happening?
What do you think, Henry?
It's not enough to communicate that there is a Creator. Telling people about the God of the Bible is the whole reason we started this thing.
I have to confess that I think we've got a 2 Corinthians 6:14 problem going here.
2 Corinthians 6:14?
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?
Miles has said that he's not a believer, hasn't he?
Well, yes, and we've shared the gospel with him several times. He just doesn't want any part of it.
Well, men, I think I've made a grave error. I was the one who hired Miles, but now in the light of the scriptures, I think I need to confess before the Lord that we have become unequally yoked.
Oh, here he comes.
Okay, let me handle it.
I'm back.
Miles, I have something very hard to say to you.
What?
Miles, you've done a great job training our team, and we'll always appreciate that, but...
Are you letting me go?
Miles, our goal is to promote the God of the Bible. And you yourself said that you're not interested in that.
Well, that is just perfect. Rejected by the very team that I created.
Miles, you're overreacting.
Do you want to know who was just on the phone? It was my lawyer. I'm being sued.
By who?
When the first emergency response team was responding to the wildfires in California, it was getting too close to my truck, so I moved it. When I parked it, I accidentally blocked the fire truck's access to the neighborhood. Now the families who lost their homes are suing me.
They lost their homes because you saved your truck?
Look, Kendall, I've spent a lifetime rescuing people. Aren't I entitled to one mistake? And now I can't believe that you're jumping on me as well, kicking me when I'm already down.
But we had no idea.
You call yourselves Christians. You all act loving, and then if someone disagrees with you, you stab them in the back.
But Miles...
I'm leaving. I'll contact you when I'm ready.
That didn't go very well.
I had no idea that he was being sued. We certainly could have talked about this later.
Henry, it's okay. It's not your fault. It just shows me that there's a problem deep in Miles' heart. We need to pray for him.
So, is he still on the team or not?
Jim, he's got too much going on right now. So, I'll check up on him later and see if we can help in any way. Let me catch this. Hello?
Yes, is this Mr. Henry Michaels?
Yes.
My name's Laurie. My husband's Dr. Jerry Benson. He's a creation geologist, and I saw you on the news, so I looked up your website about the Creation Response Team, and I think I need your help.
What can we do for you?
2 days ago, I stopped hearing from him. I think he's disappeared.
Have you called the police?
Yes, I have, and they're doing everything they can. But it's a huge wilderness up there. I was hoping you could help.
Lori, let me get your number. We'll call you right back.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to this emergency meeting of the Creation Response Team.
Hey, guys. All
right.
Now, as you already know, we have been asked to find a missing creation scientist by the name of Dr. Jerry Benson. I've asked Katie to find out a little bit more about him and his work. Katie?
Thanks, Dad. Dr. Benson is a creation geologist from Wisconsin. He just recently traveled to Alaska to follow up on the work done by another team of creationists. In 1994, they traveled to the Colville River in search of unfossilized dinosaur bones.
He was trying to show that dinosaurs fit better in the biblical timeline than they do in the evolutionary perspective.
That's right, Dad.
It appears that Dr. Benson was stationed in a cabin in Umiat when suddenly he disappeared 2 days ago. Here's pictures so you'll know what he looks like.
Thank you, Katie.
Dad, he was looking for unfossilized dinosaur bones like you found.
There was also a recent discovery of unfossilized T-Rex bones, wasn't there, Kendall?
Yes. In March of 2005, scientists were trying to transport a T-Rex fossil, and they had to break the thigh bone to get it into the helicopter. Now, when they did, they found out that it wasn't completely fossilized.
Weren't they even more surprised when they got it into the lab?
Yes. They found that the soft tissues of the dino were not only intact, but that they were still rubbery and flexible. The team also found what they believed to be blood vessels and cells.
Wasn't that team led by Dr. Schweitzer?
Yes, and that's not all she found. Because of this recent discovery, she decided to reinvestigate a hadrosaur fossil as well, and also found soft tissues. She reported that the material she found in several specimens all resemble bone collagen that you'd expect to find in modern specimens.
Well, that seems to be a total contradiction to the evolutionary timeline.
I believe so, Dad. How can flexible, soft tissues, blood vessels, and cells last for 65 million years? Now their theories are being powerfully challenged by their own discoveries.
That's really incredible.
Creation Response Team, I think this fits our mission, to further the message of the Creator. Dr. Benson is a scientist that is doing some important work for the Lord. I think we need to find him. Are we up for it?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Jim, remember that Ryan is going camping with Mom and Dad this week.
The junior team is minus Eddie, Mike, Thad, and Timmy. Their families are on vacation for the next couple of days.
Well, since Martha and I are in our second trimester of pregnancy, do you think we should go?
Kendall and I actually talked this over, and we're all going to fly into Fairbanks. From there, Kendall and Jonathan and I will head north to the Colville River. From Fairbanks, you'll head south to a hotel resort in Healy, next to Denali Park, via the Alaska Railroad.
What are we going to be doing?
We need a base of operation. Jesse, you're going to be our communications officer. We need you guys to be in touch with us and Henry and Benjamin back here in Abiquiu. Also, Katie, we'll rely on you for research.
And of course you'll need us to continue our homeschooling.
That's right. So why Denali Park?
Jim and I were talking about Denali. Because of its beauty and wildlife, we'll meet you there after our mission. We want to photograph some of the animals and do some research to show God's wonderful design. We'll use it for displays here in the museum.
So, Grandpa, do you have some gadgets for us to take?
Like last mission, you have your communicator watches. Now, I've also got a little bug device.
Hmm. Wow, these things are so tiny!
That's right. Easy to hide, too. Along with that is this little one-way radio. Now, this is the transmitter, and you can see the receiver is also very small. Now, if you speak into this unit, it will broadcast over this little micro-speaker.
What are these?
Well, since you'll be in the wilderness, I thought I'd include these parachute aerial flares. Their signal can be seen during the day or night, and they also burn for a full minute.
What's this thing?
Well, this is a taser. Even though I don't like to think about it, this would come in handy if someone attacks you. The shock from this unit will disable someone for a few minutes. And then finally, Jesse, I've included Eddie's tracking device and installed the software on your laptop so you'll be able to track it.
Good work, Dad. Okay, gang, let's spend some time praying, packing, and then we better get some sleep.
We'll be in Alaska before we know it.
Right, we made it to Fairbanks.
What do we do now?
Well, Jonathan, you and I and Jim are going to catch a prop plane up to Umiat. It's leaving in just a few hours.
And then we're snowmobiling to the Colville River, right?
Right.
Ladies, you'll take the cab over to the train station.
So if you're successful in finding Dr. Benson, what happens next?
Then we'll join you back at Denali Park.
Oh, yes. There is such a wonderful variety of animals down there.
Yes, but what's more incredible to me is that God not only designed the original kind of animals, but he designed them to adapt to their environment.
Well, Dad, can you explain again how that differs from evolution?
Evolution relies on mistakes in an animal's genetic code to change it into something else over long periods of time. But that's never been observed. It's unscientific. Instead, adaptations are changes that were already programmed into an animal's genetic code.
In Genesis 1:21, it says, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after their kind. And God saw that it was good." Oh, and then in verse 25 it says, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good."
So God created kinds of animals to reproduce their own kinds. And each one of those kinds were not only wonderfully designed themselves, but seemed to contain the genetic information needed to express all the incredible adaptations and variations that have been seen throughout history.
That is incredible.
Wow. Well, look, Yang, we better get moving so you can get to your taxi and we can get to our plane.
Yeah, I guess it's time to go. I'm sorry. I'll miss you, Jim.
It's okay, honey.
I'm feeling just so emotional right now.
Here, let me give you a hug.
Must be because I'm pregnant.
Here, take my hanky.
Oh, thanks, honey. Oh, I can't believe you still have this handkerchief.
I remember when you monogrammed my initials into it. JB. It really made me feel really loved, honey.
Oh, we'll miss you.
Be careful, guys.
All right.
Bye.
See you soon.
Bye.
Okay, Murdoch. You're my lawyer. Tell me how bad it is.
Miles, 5 houses burnt to the ground because you blocked the fire trucks when you saved your own truck.
So bottom line it for me, Murdoch.
We're looking at a few million dollars suit here. So in short, Miles, you're going to need a lot of money.
Oh!
Denali Park, servicing Healy and Inanna. Next stop.
Okay, everyone get your stuff. Let's go.
Okay.
The scenery from the train has been breathtaking.
It's been awesome.
Oh, no.
I must have left my purse on board. I'll be right back.
You better hurry before the train leaves.
All aboard Anchorage. All aboard.
May I help you?
Well, I'm okay. I just left my purse right here.
I'm sorry, miss. Can I help you pick up your stuff?
Well, that's okay.
Hey, get going. Let's find our seats.
I was just trying to help her.
Did you find it okay?
Guys, we've got to get back on that train.
What do you mean?
Why, honey? Did you forget something else?
Because I think I just bumped into Dr. Jerry Benson.
What?
Where is it? Oh, here.
Yes.
Look, here's his picture. Now he's on that train heading to Anchorage.
But how are we going to catch up with a train?
It's already speeding away.
No. We've lost Dr. Benson before we even found him.
Dr. Benson is speeding away from that train, and we're stuck here in Healy.
We need to call the guys and let them know right now.
I'm sorry, Mom, but I haven't been able to reach them myself. Or our communicator watches. They must be in the middle of nowhere. Shouldn't we call the police and let them know or something?
I think we need to make sure that it is Dr. Benson before we do anything.
I agree. Well, girls, I guess it's up to us.
We need to find a way to make it to the next train stop before it gets there.
But how?
Did someone say they need a ride?
Yes, we do.
We'll give you a ride.
On those snowmobiles?
Well, we can't wait for the next train. Who knows what will happen to Dr. Benson?
Angela, are you seriously thinking about getting on those snow thing machines to catch the train?
You'll never catch it unless you take a shortcut. We can take you for a price.
Well, can you fit all of us on both of those?
What about our luggage?
Sure, for a...
We know. For a price.
Okay, this is crazy. Well, let's go for it. Girls, please just try to miss the bumps.
Okay, easy riders. Let's hit the snow.
Hang on!
Whoa!
Okay, Dusty, you're coming with me.
Grab the wheel!
Woo-hoo!
Let's go!
Thanks for flying us up here, Chuck.
You're welcome. I hope you find what you're looking for.
Thank you.
You know, we ought to give the girls a call, let them know we've made it this far.
You know, I know this is no surprise, but there's no cell phone service up here.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. And you know, I already tried the two-way radios earlier. We're way out of range. Man, it is bright out here.
Yeah, it's all reflecting off that snow.
It's amazing. Like a mirror.
By reflecting all that light back into space, it keeps the snow cooler so that it doesn't melt as fast.
Is there a reason for that, Dad?
If instead of snow, all that water fell as rain, it would flood and wash away plants and erode soil. Also, all the water would be absorbed into the ground and evaporate all at once. But instead, snow is like a storage system. It holds huge amounts of water and then releases it slowly when water is needed later.
You know, also, as the snow reflects the light from the sun, it also helps regulate the Earth's temperatures.
And you know, snow also acts as a blanket, protecting plants, seeds, and animals from the cold air.
We're always surrounded by God's wonderful design, aren't we, Dad?
Oh, yeah. There is not a square inch of this world that doesn't show his creativity.
Amen to that. Okay, guys, we better head over to that terminal. That's where we're going to pick up the snowmobiles to make the last leg of our journey.
Okay, there's the train! It looks like it's pulling away from the station!
Oh, no.
Hang on, folks! We've got to get in at Heaven!
Whoa, girls, hang on!
Anything white to flag it down with?
No.
Wait, Jim's handkerchief. Here you go. Thanks. Come on, Joe. Do you see us?
He sees us. They're holding the train.
Yes. Oh, we made it.
Oh, thank you so much, girls. Here's your money.
Thanks for the cash.
And thanks for the ride. That was awesome.
No problem.
Yeah.
that was something.
Okay, well, let's get back on the train.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Dad, according to the GPS, this is the exact coordinates of Dr. Benson's cabin.
Yep, this is it. Exactly as his wife, Lori, described it. Hello? Dr. Benson, are you here? Hey, it's unlocked.
Should we go inside?
Yeah. Hello? I'm gonna check in here.
This is a small log cabin.
Just the basics to survive the wilderness of Alaska.
Thanks, Dad, for always including me on these great adventures.
Jonathan, I see these trips as a way to teach and train you as my son. I want you to someday lead your family and also influence society by standing up for the Bible.
That reminds me of a verse you were sharing with me on the plane. It was about the Proverbs 31 woman. I think it was verse 23. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land.
And that's my goal as a father, to raise you to be a man who will stand in the gates.
Hey, guys! Guys, look in here! There's a lantern still on!
So why didn't he turn it off when he left?
Unless he thought he was coming right back.
Well, let's try to get in touch with the girls and then head down to the river and check out his research site.
I can't believe we made it back on the train.
And that they were nice enough to upgrade our tickets on board.
This dining car looks just like the ones in the old movie.
Can I pray right now?
Oh, yeah, yes. Absolutely. Okay.
Oh, dear Lord, thank you for getting us this far. We pray that you'll guide us and lead us. If it's your will, please lead us to Dr. Benson.
Sorry to interrupt. Here's some bread.
Oh, great. Could I have some water, please?
Sure. One moment. Good evening, gentlemen. Come right this way. Is this booth okay?
Great. Are you comfortable, Dr. Benson?
Just fine.
Mom, that's them. Dr. Benson?
All right with you, Dr. Benson?
She's right.
I'm not a bad guy.
Shh. I just need a little help. That's all.
I'm not a bad guy. I just need to obey your every command or you'll push that little button on your watch and destroy all of my research and fossils, right? Yeah, I guess that makes us good friends.
Keep your voice down, Jerry. Or my trigger finger would get a bit itchy. I just need you to help me get the most out of my investment. And then you can be on your way.
Why choose me?
You are one of the only scientists who understands flotation techniques for removing microscopic gold dust from pyrite. Your little hobby could find millions of dollars of gold left behind.
Excuse me.
That sneeze.
That man's kidnapping Dr. Benson. And it's not because of his research.
We need to call the police.
No, he's got that transmitter with him at all times. If we make a false move now, we'll lose all of Dr. Benson's work.
Okay, so what do we do? We need to find out more.
If there was just a way to get a listening device into their room.
Waiter, I think we'd like some dessert.
I'll be right back with dessert menus.
Oh, here, Mrs. Brennan, you dropped your handkerchief.
Thanks, Katie. Hey, this gives me an idea.
So, this is the Colville River. Man, it is beautiful.
Dad, do you think there's salmon in here?
Well, I've heard that there's sometimes a Chinook run on this river.
Where do they come from?
You don't know about the amazing journey of the salmon?
I don't remember as much as I should.
Well, in autumn, salmon lay their eggs that hatch later in the year. And during this stage of their life, they're called alevins. And they stay hidden under the gravel of the riverbed. God created them with a special sac below their bellies, which feeds them until they're old enough to eat for themselves.
That's so neat that God thought of that.
And when the little salmon finally comes out from the gravel, he's called a fry, and he swims to a pool for protection from bright sunlight and other creatures that might want to eat him.
How long does he stay there?
For several months, and then they go to the smolt stage. And that, they swim downstream, and before entering the ocean, an amazing change takes place. They adapt from being a freshwater fish to a saltwater fish.
That is truly an amazing plan made by God.
Yeah, and then after swimming thousands of miles in the ocean over the years of their life, the salmon returns back to the river in which it began its own life.
How do they know how to get back to the same place?
Well, scientists are still trying to figure that one out. But we believe it has something to do with the position of the sun, the moon, and stars, and the Earth's magnetic field.
Scientists now believe that salmon might be able to know the way home by tasting their own river.
Wow, that's incredible!
Yeah, before going back up the river, the salmon goes through another physical change as it readjusts to the freshwater again. Then the salmon makes an incredible journey, battling the current and obstacles as it fights its way all the way back home.
Back to the same place it began life!
Yes, to the gravel bed. There, the female salmon finds a mate, and then digs a hole with her tail, lays the eggs, and then a male salmon fertilizes them. Then the eggs hatch, the cycle starts all over again. But not long after laying the eggs, both the mother and the father die.
What a journey!
Thank you for sharing that with me, Mr. Brennan.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm getting a little cold out here. We better keep moving.
Hey, Kendall, come over here a second. Is this where Dr. Benson was excavating?
It sure looks like it.
There's a bunch of tools laying around here.
Yeah, I think this is good evidence that he was taken against his will. He wouldn't just leave things out like this.
I think you're right, Jim.
You know what? Looks like we're losing daylight pretty fast.
Okay, let's pick up and get to shelter.
These personal compartments are just like a little closet with bunk beds in it.
Yes, four of us just barely fit in here. Hey, Katie, could you hand me the scissors?
Sure, Mrs. Brennan.
Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Mom.
So what's up?
Well, I was going to check in with Mr. Michaels when my cell rang. It was Miles Morgan. Is he still a part of our team?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Your dad was telling me that they were about to let him go, but then they never made the final arrangements.
That's sad. Well, I hope it's okay. He was really interested in what we were up to. He wanted to know exactly how the mission was going. I told him everything. Well, I don't see why not.
Okay.
He's been a big part of our team.
That's true.
Have you finished sewing, Mom?
Yes. And I sewed the listening device and the microspeaker from the one-ray radio right into the hem of the handkerchief.
Perfect. Mm.
Isn't it amazing that Dad's monogram has the same initials as Dr. Jerry Benson?
I think it's providential.
Are you ready?
While I was out there, I found one of the maid's aprons hanging on a peg by the ladies' restroom. Oh, and I picked up some extra towels.
Well, that apron with your white skirt and shoes really looks like a maid's outfit. Are you sure you're ready for this, Jesse?
Jesse, I wonder if I shouldn't go.
Mom, you have my little sister or brother with you. I don't want them to be in danger. And they may remember Katie from the train station. It's up to me.
You're so brave, Jesse.
Thanks, Katie. Okay, so I'm just gonna go to their room, pretend I'm a maid, drop off the towels, and hand Dr. Benson this handkerchief with a bug in it.
Jesse, just act normal. Don't be nervous or he'll know you're up to something.
Mom, if I make a mistake, it's going to be serious trouble.
Yes, and we'll be listening on this end. If you have any problems, we will be right there to help you.
Well, pray for me.
Okay, we'll be praying for you, honey.
Will Jesse be able to place the bug into Charlie Tobuck's room without being caught? Will the creation response team be able to save Dr. Benson? to find out. Join us next time for part two of Jonathan Park and the Wilderness Express. You've been listening to The Adventures of Jonathan Park. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Creation Response Team treks across the Alaskan wilderness in an attempt to rescue Dr. Benson in part two of Jonathan Park and the Wilderness Express.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.